Welcome to Panthers pre-game podcast, looking ahead to the weekend, a big weekend of action for the Panthers. Saturday at home to Coventry and Sunday on the road to Five Flies. Almost sold out building. What a support from the Panthers Nation. Going to be a fourth successive sellout as we record this on Wednesday night. There's just a handful of tickets left, so that's great support. So thank you everyone once again for turning out in their numbers. We're also going to look back at the weekend, the 3-3. One of us in this chat went to Belfast, a couple of us didn't, and we'll hear more about Jono's escapades very shortly indeed. But Jono joins us. Jono Bullard, hello. Dan Green, hoping to get Ken join us. He's on the road, hopefully be back in time to play some part. But for now, Greener and Jono, hello.
Hello, hello. Evening,
Evening,
everyone.
Chris. Evening.
Greener's not really with us, watching the North London Derby.
Certainly am not
Indeed.
enjoying a second of it.
No, I've got a son that's smiling, but you're not doing,
Time
you're
to go to
not.
bed.
Yeah, he should be in bed, but he's been allowed up to watch the football.
We were smiling last night, Chris, so
Well,
sort of.
sort of. I was very happy to take my seat. I got a rare treat to get to the game.
Oh.
A rare treat. Got to thank my family for that. And yeah, it was great when Chris Wood scored, but went toe to toe with the best team in the league, and I think a
Oh,
point.
can't argue with 4 points from six against
No.
the team 6 points clear at the top of the
That is a fair point, but this isn't a Forest podcast, so
league.
we better move on. Let's start with the weekend, Jono. That it was an interesting weekend, wasn't it? Because I think Danny Stewart said this in his post-match reaction and in the interview, which will go out on Panthers TV on Friday, this Friday. But going back to last Friday, he said probably deserved something more out of Friday's game. Saturday they weren't quite as good, and Sunday, fair play to do that performance 3-3. How That was a phenomenal performance in Dundee. How do you assess the weekend?
Yeah, I think I agree. I agree with Danny, 100%. I think Friday, it was a really good game on Friday. Jackson Whistle absolutely stood on his head at times. I'm amazed we didn't score, but he played so well. It was a game between two really well-matched sides, and I think for the it you could tell that this was two teams challenging for the league. It was that it was such a quality game, real high quality, really intense. I had a sort of playoff feel about it. It was a
It did.
really, really good game of hockey, and we lost it on an empty net at the end. Jason Grande played superb all weekend. So Friday, yeah, I felt we was unlucky, but fair play to Belfast, fair play to Jackson Whistle, and absolutely great game. Saturday.
Jono, before you move on to Saturday, I'm not taking anything away from Jackson Whistle, and I do think he played well, but I'm not sure how well, personally, I'm not sure how well we tested him with shots. I felt it was a performance for me where, we created some brilliant chances. Our transition was superb. And just maybe I found, to me, our final touch was a bit lacking. Whereas in recent weeks, they'd been pretty clinical in big moments. I just felt that, like, there was a few times when, shot straight at him. I guess Whistle's still got to make himself big and make the save. But I just wonder, I look back at that game and think, possession-wise, we were great on the puck. We were good in transition. We created a lot of room. And look, I'm not taking anything away from Jackson because he had a great game. He got a shutout. But I just personally would like to have seen him and tested more. And I just think we had some big chances which players will look back on and think, I should have done better there. But as you said, Jono, we went toe to toe with a very good team. And again, you look at it and think, it's frustrating, and Otto Niemann talks about this in the interview again, which will go out on Friday. It's just, at the moment, how many, we're not getting blown away by teams. That's fantastic. That shows what a good team we are. But the frustration is those odd one-goal games that we are losing, and the players admit that that is a frustration.
Yeah, I can see that. I think there was a couple of really good chances where he made a couple of good saves. There was one from Diederik Hembrandt in the second period where
Yeah.
I think Diederik raised his arms. I was watching because we was all at the other end of the ring. And I was watching. I actually went up and cheered because I thought he was raising his arms to say he'd scored, and then play continued, and I looked stupid. And then there was one, I think, deep into the third period where Otto Nieminen was right in front, put off a one-time shot, and Jackson Whistle made a great save from that. So I think we did. We had a few grade A chances. And he did have to make some excellent saves to keep it at zero. I felt at the time, but obviously, I mean, you was watching the webcast, so I suppose you got all the replays and everything. Whereas
I'm generally not taking anything away from him. I think he had a great game, but I just think we had some big chances, and I just felt, you know, a few times, you know, shot straight at him. I'm just going to move it on slightly. I want to bring Greener on before he kind of gets too enchanted in Tottenham bottling it again. But Greener, how good is it? I mean, Jono put out some great stats about Jason Grande. I know he only won one of three games this weekend, but he had a great weekend. His save percentage, what did you say, Jono? 95 point something?
95.5%, I think he was over the weekend.
95.5%. How good is it, Greener? You know, he's been thrust into action. And again, I asked Danny about this. You know, he came as backup and suddenly he's had to play 3 and 3 because, you know, Bednar's was not 100% fit last weekend. You know, first of all, you know, hats off to Jason Grande, Greener, for stepping in and looking the part.
Yeah, I think any time you play a 3 and 3 is really tough, you know, especially all on the road with the travel between the second and the third games. You know, he's not played in any of those rinks yet. And yeah, it's really difficult. Obviously, he's not played a lot in the last 4 or 5 weeks, and then boom, to play 3 and 3 back to back like that's really tough against, you know, Belfast being one of the best teams in the league. You know, very, you know, sort of hostile atmosphere. Obviously, had lots of shots. So yeah, just to come into you know, a rink he's not familiar with, and you know, only been here for a few weeks, and just kind of get thrust into massive top of the table games was I thought he was excellent all weekend.
Jono, you were super impressed with him, weren't you?
Yeah, massively. And I think it's because he, as Dan says, he's come in, he's not had massive amount of game time, but he just, I felt, didn't put a foot wrong over the weekend. He conceded 5 goals from. He's 5 goals from 3 games because obviously the two Belfast goals were empty netters. I think just looking at his stats now for the Belfast game on Friday, he was 96.77%. Dundee was 96.88% and 92.86% on Saturday. Those figures are just absolutely insane, really, really good, really consistent figures. And he's now gone overall to 92.89% in the 7 games he's featured in. So I think we've got a very, very good pickup there in Jason Grande, and he proved how good he was over this past weekend.
And Greener, will that just push Bedsy even more? Because, you know, again, Bedsy is our number one. But you know, Goldies, I don't know, maybe some Goldies don't like competition, but Bedsy seems to me to be the type of character who probably would thrive on it. But to have somebody, I mean, I actually think Hunter Vorver would have pushed Bedsy all the way as well. You know, I'm just sad we never got to see the best of Hunter Vorver, obviously, for the personal reasons that he had to return. But, you know, it can only be good for the team to, you know, I mean, I know it sounds obvious saying it, but to have 2 goals, basically, we've probably got to see, I'm just thinking out loud here, we've probably got to see more of Grande earlier than we expected, but that's only going to be good for the team, surely.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, I think if you know, Bednar had been healthy or been able to play, you know, Grande would have probably played one of the games. I would imagine he would have played the Dundee game anyway. And like you said, he's been thrust into the limelight quicker and in more intense environments. But, you know, down the road, that will come in handy. You know, he might not have really played much this weekend, but then in 3 weeks' time, if we need him, now he's got that much more confidence. The team's a lot more confident in him. And yeah, I mean, exactly that. I mean, I think Bedsy relishes that, you know, little bit of competition. I think he's definitely earned his starting role, and he is the number one. And, you know, in my mind, he's the best goalie in the league, but it's only good. Oh, it's only, it just benefits us massively having someone that in any game, during a game, before a game, he can come in and, you know, do the job.
And John, I move on to a conversation about secondary scoring. In Panthers' great run, you know, beating Sheffield and obviously the 9 goals against Coventry, there was contributions from all over. Mm. Then you just feel, maybe if you look back and go to the Clan game and then those two losses to Belfast, the secondary scoring dried up. Because I think off the top of my head, it was probably C. Garratt with a couple of goals and then that Fossier, Contus and Herline getting the other ones in those 3 games. And I know it's only a short span of time, but you know, if your secondary scoring dries up for a few games, you're not necessarily going to win games. And okay, we beat the Clan by 2-1, but there was 2 losses in Belfast. But what it brings me on to say was, you know, Danny Stewart could have thought, well, I'm going to keep it going and see what happens. But he did decide to change it up in Dundee, and he reunited Hugo Waugh and Otto Niemann and Diederik Hembrandt, which left Alfaro Doherty and Stefansson together. And just those little tweaks, that seemed to benefit the team as well on Sunday, didn't it?
Well, if you look at all the scoring on Sunday came from those middle 2 lines. So, yeah, it worked a treat. Good coaching in the end, because he knew he probably had to make a change. And it's only swapping 2 players over, but look at what a difference it made. So you had Tim Doherty getting 1+1, Matt Alfaro got 1+1, Reid Stephenson got 2 assists, 1+1 for Otto Nieminen, a goal for Diederik Hembrandt, assists for Hugo Waugh. So everyone on those middle 6 lines contributed to the score sheet on Sunday. So what a great move by Danny Stewart. Yeah. Jean-Paul Gorat as well getting another assist, which, you know, he's really started to put some points on the board from the blue line as well recently. So you know, it was a good move. And I think after the 2 defeats against Belfast, I think there was probably a little bit of trepidation amongst the fan base going into that Dundee game. But, you know, what great character from the guys who were probably really tired after 2 very intense games in Belfast to come through and get a really, really good result in what can be a tough rink to play in.
I'm just going back through those results. I mean, as I say, it's a very small sample size, but the Clan game, Fossier and Gorot scored. And then in Cardiff, her and there was a goal for Doherty. And this underlines what you say. Garratt, you know, he gets an assist in that game. And then the Belfast game, and then he decided to change it. But like you say, you know, it's not a massive sample to kind of go 3/4 games without major secondary scoring, which obviously in that big winning run, if we look back over that, there was just consistent. Every game you look at, there was, I mean, that top line, of course, was lights out. I mean, I'd say it's one of the best lines in the league, if not the best line. But obviously, you know, the secondary scoring was there, dried up for 2 or 3 games. Danny did something about it. And Greener, you'll know in a dressing room, you know, if things just don't go right for a few games, a coach can just change something and that can light the fire, can't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, sometimes guys get a little bit, I wouldn't say stale, but, you know, when you're play together game on game, you know, after all, you just need something. Just change it up, you know, change the sentiment. Change the D pairings, just something to try and get a spark, try and find some chemistry. And, you know, sometimes a coach will make a little tweak in sort of like December, and then it will stay like that for the rest of the season. It takes time for everybody to kind of get bedded in together. But no, I think, you know, anytime you lose 2 in a row, even when you play so well in them, it's just making a change to make a change sometimes, just to try and spark a little bit of something else. So, like you said, you know, Corey was always really good for it. Fair play for Danny for doing it.
And just touch on other notable things of the weekend. I thought Josh Tetlow, Jono, had an exceptional weekend and obviously kind of You know, not only the fight with something we'll touch on, which, you know, it's great to see him drop the gloves. I didn't see how it started. I actually was looking away from the webcast. The commentator suggested it might have been premeditated. Not quite sure, but, you know, he had a good tilt and he probably took a, you know, he probably took the punches in the first 15, 20 seconds. But once he got back up, he really came back into the fight and threw some proper bombs. But yeah, I mean, I guess two questions in one there, Jono. I thought Tetlow was one of our standout players of the weekend defensively, but also stepped up to the plate with a fight. Because again, we had a fight and we scored 20 seconds later. That's not the first time it's happened this season.
I have a rule about D-men that if you don't notice them, they're doing a good job. They're doing their job properly. And I didn't notice Josh Tetlow at all in Belfast.
That wasn't the beer then.
No, well, I was seeing two of everybody, but I don't know. I really never caught too many men with 20 skaters on the ice. No, in all seriousness, obviously I saw him on the park and everything, but I didn't notice. He just seemed very much in control, very composed in those two games against Belfast. And obviously I didn't see the game on Sunday because I was on a ferry and then travelling underground in Liverpool to get to Lime Street. But I've seen the footage of the fight. And you're right, he seems to be getting dominated. I think he goes down and gets straight back up. And then he throws a couple of real uppercuts. Those sort of things, we know that those things give the team a spark. Because I think we scored
we did
a minute after.
Less than that, yeah.
Yeah. And going back to the game against Sheffield where Mitch Fossier had the fight with Marco Vallerand and we scored a couple of goals because it gave the team the spark they needed. Sometimes that... I know that they're trying to phase fighting out of the game and it's not as prevalent as it once was, but those sort of things can give the team a spark. And it's clearly given us a spark in the past because we've gone straight away and scored goals from it after it's happened.
We're losing Greener here. I can see he's like losing the right live as Tottenham succumb closer to defeat. Greener, I always come round to this and I'm fascinated. You know, you've been in a dressing room. You've got to experience it. You know, does that? I mean, it lifts the fans. There's no doubt about it that the fighting. But I mean, the one in Nottingham when Fossey had his fight, it lifted the fans, and two goals came. Does it lift a bench? Do you know? Does a fight come and some? You know, does the bench respond to that? Is it as obvious as it looks from the stands? Is it pretty much that way?
Yeah, I think it's massive. You know, obviously, like John said, it's kind of gone out the game a lot now, but. Massively, and I think especially when it's someone like Tets that, you know, because of his size and his stature, he probably feels like he has to do it, and you know he probably gets challenged a bit. But you know, to see someone like that, I was going to say a younger player, and he's not that young anymore, but like, you know, a guy like that step up and fight, it's huge. And exactly as you said, twice we've seen it this year, and twice it's kind of worked. And you know, the other one with Fossier, again, you're seeing a smaller skilled player do it, that's even more so. You know, when you see a big tough guy do it, they, you know, you kind of know they can do it and it's not a bigger deal, but you know, those players don't really exist anymore. So, you know, every time it's a Tets or a Fossier, it's like a, you know, a really good player, you know, taking that plunge and kind of stepping up for the team. So obviously both times they've reacted and you can see why.
When we're doing this podcast in 15 years' time, Greener, with our Zimmer frames and so on, will we be talking about fights?
I think so. I think it will always be there, unless, obviously, it sounds obvious, but unless it's like a rule, like you cannot do it and you get a, you know, a 10-game ban if you
kind
do.
Of
like
a point, though. Like, I mean, is that going to happen? That's kind of my question.
It could do. I know already in the, I want to say the Quebec League, don't quote me on that, in like Major Junior, it's either been outlawed or you get a massive suspension for it. Obviously, in college hockey, I'm pretty sure it's outlawed.
Double-like kind of fights in IIHF games?
Yeah, so yeah. I think it all comes down to, you know, I don't know if you were going to touch on it or not, but obviously the sad news about Rob Trumbly coming through. you know, obviously very sadly passing away, kind of a bit of a legend of the old Super League era. But the more, and I obviously don't know much about that, but you know, the more ex-tough guys and the CTE and the injuries, the more that comes about, there could, I feel that even though it will die out, as long as you're allowed to do it, if you call it allowed to, it's always going to happen in hockey because the physicality and the speed. But if your question is one day, will they completely ban it? They honestly could do. I mean, I obviously couldn't call that, but just what we've seen in the last 10 years, the downscale in it, you know, if it happens. And I also think there's going to be a point where young players coming up just don't really want to do it. You know, a lot of players, if you speak to the guys in my era, they sort of had to do it because they wanted to make the team, and they, you know, it was a way in. But if you don't really have to do it anymore, people just aren't going to want to do it. So
That freedom.
I hope it's always a part of it because you've seen what can happen. I think the sort of premeditated heavyweight thing has kind of gone. But yeah, I don't know what Jono thinks, but yeah, I could see in the next 10 years it you know, they're bringing in a rule. And you know, a lot of people that I know that don't play hockey or know anything about hockey, when I say that you're allowed to fight, they can't believe it. You know, it's literally the only sport that you're allowed to do it. So you would think at some point they'd be like, why don't we just stop that? But
Well,
I
apart
hope
from
they don't.
boxing, where the you know boxing
Well,
is,
yeah, apart
you
from
know,
an actual combat sport,
yeah.
but you know, if someone says to me like, oh, do they fight in hockey and they're allowed to? And I say, yeah, they're like, why? That's crazy. But when you've been in hockey your whole life, it's not. But for the kind of normal person, of course it seems bizarre.
Yeah, and John, I'll come on to you in a minute, but I just want to kind of push, not push green there, really, really pick up on it and agree with you. I think you make a great point about guys when they were younger, some of them probably wanted to fight, but some of them were made to fight. And you only have to read autobiographies and listen to guys speak. You know, guys that wanted to go far in the NHL would like, you know, I had to fight. Kevin Bergen, you know, our mate Bergen, he talks about how he knew he had to fight to really battle for his place. And Bergen could play a bit as well. Let's be honest, Bergen was a talented hockey player. But the thing I'm intrigued about is you're right. You know, I think this, and this isn't a criticism necessarily. It's, you know, this new generation of people don't want to fight. And sure, like, the old time hockey fans can go, oh, well, that's dull and that's boring. We want to see this and we want to see that. And I understand and respect that opinion. And as I say, I don't mind the odd scrap, especially a scrap that's caused because, you know, someone's clattered out, skilled guy and something like that. But you're right, Greener. I think, you know, players nowadays, they don't want to fight. They want to play hockey.
Yeah,
And yeah.
that's the call.
No, I was just going to say, and is that necessarily a bad thing that these kids don't want to fight? They want to play the game that we all love.
Yeah, and you know, as you said, you know, there's always going to be bigger players in hockey and stuff. But you know, when you look at the, you know, you say about there's a fight if someone takes a run at a skilled player, but you look at it now, and really everybody's a skilled player. It's not like 10 years ago where you had three or four Ottos and Didricks and everyone else was a Bergie. Everybody now really is an Otto and a Didrik. And so they've all got the same role. I mean, you know, yeah, there's always going to be, you know, a bigger guy like a Tets or someone that's going to want to do that. But yeah, I just think, like you said, back in the day, these players did it to make the NHL or to make the next step. But you just, you know, you see guys in the NHL that are 5'9" and don't throw a hit all season and stuff. So it's, yeah, I think they can, I think they can kind of get away without doing it for the most part.
Where do you sit on it all, Jono?
I love a fight. I'm not going to lie. I've watched sport for a long time. I love a fight. But when I talk to people about it now, and they people who don't watch the game, and they say, well, oh, it's all fighting, isn't it? I goes, well, no, not anymore. I guess maybe a time 20 years ago, two or three fights a game. I said, now you're lucky if you get two, three fights a season. You know, it's got like that. I'm with Greener on that. I didn't like the sort of premeditated pantomime fights between two big guys just to prove who was the hardest. Because I don't think it proved anything. It wasn't part of the game. When I like to see a fight is when there is something that actually happens that warrants a fight. Like if there's a bad hit, or say somebody takes a run at the netminder, or something like that. Something happens to sort of kick off a brawl. I like the sort of spontaneity of that, and you know how it just sort of happens almost instantaneously. I didn't like the stage stuff. I think it will always be in the game, but I think the more that leagues and certainly sort of start to ban it and outlaw it. I think we mentioned the Quebec League. So their rule is that if you have a fight, you will be ejected from the game, both players. If you're found to have instigated the fight, you will get an automatic one-game suspension. And the player who is declared to be the aggressor during a fight will receive a minimum 2-game suspension.
There you go.
So I think once they start bringing these things in more and more leagues throughout the world, then I think you will stop seeing it happen. I think you'll probably still get the odd flashpoint where it'll happen, but I think it will get rarer and rarer. And to be perfectly honest, I think the game will be poorer for it.
Greenout, you're going to have to unmute. I apologise. I muted you because I thought you were doing the rustling, but it's Jono. He hasn't got his posh mic, Jono. Where's your posh mic?
Daughter was having a bit of a meltdown. She had a bad night at gymnastics, so I only had time to like flip up the iPad and put the earphones in.
So I haven't got
the laptop and the nice mic, unfortunately.
Oh no, I did literally. I suddenly saw you talking into your thing dangling down there, and realised your mic was missing. So it was you doing the rustling. Just before we go, we haven't got long. Greener, will Coventry be a different proposition? Do you think? You know, we absolutely hammered them, didn't we? 9-2, and it, you know, that's probably a rare. They've been blown out a couple of times, Coventry, obviously, but they've had a hell of a season under Kevin Moore. Do you think we'll probably see a different Coventry on Saturday to New Year's Eve?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think that will have obviously, you know, whatever word you want to use, you know, embarrass them, you know, a little bit. And I'm sure, you know, Kevin Moore wasn't happy, and obviously they went on and had a good result. I think it was Sunday. On the flip side of that, I would be, and this is only me, I don't expect you two to agree with me, but I would be amazed if we didn't get a 4-point weekend this weekend. For me, this is like the perfect bounce back weekend after, you know, obviously dropping some points next weekend. Coventry home, Fife away. I see nothing but 4 points. But Coventry will dig their heels in. They're going to want revenge from obviously New Year's Eve. So, you know, they're going to come and give their best. But I just think, you know, at home after, you know, obviously a great result on Sunday, but, you know, dropping some points, I see nothing but a very sort of dominant commanding display.
Well, I hope you haven't jinxed it, but I know what you mean. And obviously, you know, Jono, if this team wants to still be in a title race, and I think we talked about, you know, obviously the two defeats to Belfast were damaging, but there's probably five teams now still, maybe six, who think that they can be in a title race. And you know, if Panthers are to, you know, still continue to be around, you know, Greener feels confident that it will happen, but it's probably a must that it needs to happen.
Yeah, I 100% agree with him. I agree with Dan. It has to be a 4-point weekend.
I mean, he didn't say it has to be. He said it will be. I mean, we heard it at first.
Right, yeah. I agree. I think it will. You only have to look at the two games that we had against Coventry at New Year, with 9-2 and 3-0, are two fabulous performances. I think they will obviously have looked at the video. I think they will tighten up. I don't think it'll be as easy. But I think at home against the full house, we should be beating Coventry Blades. And then Sunday night, it's Fife. And, you know, you would hope to go there and get 2 points.
Because that's
just the situation that they seem to find themselves in, which is really sad, and it's not looking good their season at all. You know, we've got to be professional and we've got to go there and get a win. I fully agree with Dan. I think it will be a 4-point weekend.
Let's hope you're right, boys. Join us if you can. There's a handful of tickets left for Saturday. And obviously, if you can't make the game on Saturday, you can listen to Jono and Dan on the webcast. Sadly, Ken Feast didn't make us. Still driving, I think. I think he was racing his snake at the leisure centre locally or something like that. I think that was what he was up to tonight. So that must have been quite interesting. Actually, I'm off now. I have so little life. My life is so boring. I'm off to watch. I stumbled upon this. I mean, I joke my life being boring. I mean, you can be the judge of that. I stumbled upon a YouTube channel called Cooper's Live. It is a karaoke bar in Liverpool. And you're in Liverpool. I thought of you when I stumbled upon this. It's a karaoke bar in Liverpool, and it live streams karaoke all day. And I kid you not, there's people in it all day. And I've looked at today's stream, and there's been a guy in it drinking beers since midday. He's still going now. What is it?
Legend.
10 o'clock. Oh no, he's gone. I've just flipped back to the live stream. He's gone. That is some.
That was Jono on Saturday.
That was Jono.
That was in Belfast.
Yeah, but I kid you not. If you want to have a laugh, Cooper's Live. It's called Cooper's Townhouse, and it's the most down to earth, real thing that you can see.
It's not the one. I was in the Grapes on Wednesday night in Liverpool, but they had karaoke.
Well, if you'd been in Cooper's Townhouse, you'd have been live, and I could have been watching you.
But no. There's no way I was getting up to see. Anything. My voice is shocking.
Oh, mate, no, I wouldn't do it. But no, five, six people have just walked in. So yeah, no, it's funny watching the karaoke. It's also watching the people, you know, talking, people chatting each other up. As I said, I don't have much for life, but you won't regret it to watch these Liverpudlians belt out these karaoke tunes. Yeah, go over and do that. You won't regret it. There you go, guys. Great, Greener. I mean, there's what, seconds to go in the big game? You look resigned.
Thought we were just about to have a corner, but we haven't. So, yeah, I think that's going to be it.
How many minutes of injury time is it?
It's five, but we've already played over 94. So,
yeah. Oh, it's done. We might as well finish this before we actually see that look of despair on your face. Yeah. Anyway, as I said, join us. Last few tickets. You haven't got your tickets. Get your tickets for Panthers, Coventry. Plenty of other hockey as well. The big strikes me is a big Challenge Cup playing game, effectively the quarterfinal, one-off quarterfinal to reach the semis. That against Glasgow. Some really good prices for that. A week on Wednesday. That's Wednesday the 22nd. And then Guildford and Paul Dixon arrive on the 24th of January. So plenty of hockey to get your teeth into. But for now, thanks for listening on the Panthers pre-game podcast, and we'll speak to you soon.